This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smarks and Stripes. It is the 94 WIP Wrestling Podcast right here on the Radio.com app. My name is Bill Matz. I am joined, as I am every week, by my good friend, Eric the Turtle Golden.
That's me.
It's not the Turtle. It's just Eric Turtle Golden.
It's become the Turtle.
Yeah.
From people like Big Daddy and essentially everyone, but it usually is just Turtle.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Turtel if you're Michael Barkan.
That's where it starts. And where I want to start is where we left off. We were here. We were talking to Baron Corbin ahead of his main event
Mr.
at Extreme
main
Rules.
Event.
Yeah, Mr. Main Event himself. Turtle, you and I were both at Extreme Rules. I just want to get into that. I want to get into the card. I want to know what you thought of the show overall, and then we'll get into Raw and SmackDown.
So, overall, just in general, it was a solid show. Of course, with every pay-per-view, there's going to be down points, and we're like, all right, why is this match still going on? But it was a solid show. It was one of the first ones I've been to in a good long while. And I was happy with it. I really was.
In terms of, like, non-major shows, because, like, listen, Royal Rumble is going to – it's the Royal Rumble. It's outside of – it's one of the two or three biggest shows of the year they do.
Well, and that's just the nerd in me coming out because – who's it going to be? You don't exactly know. You might know 30, you might know one.
And yes, the event is set up for fan interaction, and like NXT's NXT. When that's in town, the crowd's going to be what it is.
Exactly.
That the Extreme Rules crowd is one of the best Philly wrestling crowds I've been in so freaking long, especially at the Wells Fargo Center. Like you said, there were low points of the, that's the way a 4-hour show, 5-hour show basically is set up. Like there's going to be low points, there's going to be popcorn breaks, like there's
exactly
that's the way a wrestling show is set up. But overall, man, I really enjoyed this one. I thought everyone got a decent amount of time from the opening bell. I missed the pre-show, walked in and like heard the Undertaker's entrance.
Well, by the way, just to start real quick before you get the pre-show match, Finn Balor and Nakamura was great.
It was. I went home and immediately went and watched it, and it was real good. They did a title switch. Everyone that was, as I'm like in the parking lot drinking beers with my friends, I'm looking at Twitter seeing what's going on the pre-show, and it's everyone complaining, oh, I can't believe they put Finn and Nakamura on the pre-show. It's like a week, like 3 days ago, this match wasn't a thing, and now we get a title switch. Like, watch the pre-show.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
It makes the pre-show important.
Yeah.
When you're at the event itself, you literally have no difference in tell aside from the cheesy WWE intro and the do not try this at home warning.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you know it's one to the other. That's it.
But yeah, I walk in and it's like me and my buddies and we hear the gong and we just go running for the first entrance so we can watch the Undertaker's entrance.
Chills.
He looked As far as the Undertaker, and you and I, you and I have taken, we have not been reverent to the Undertaker
at all
on this show. This is the best I've seen him look in a long time.
I mean, he did old school. He chokeslammed the guys without having them to have to jump 20 feet in the air.
I guess it was his chokeslam on Drew. It's the best chokeslam I've seen him do in 20 years.
I mean, obviously it was set up to, he didn't have to do it, but he was going to go for a last ride on Shane.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I wanted a last ride so bad through the table.
It was a solid Undertaker match. It really was. Like, I was stunned.
In a weekend of great wrestling, the opening match to Extreme Rules, which featured Shane McMahon, the world's, I guess, most privileged backyard wrestler, and The Undertaker, who is literally a dead person at this point, was one of the matches of the weekend. And that's something I want to get into with you, what you thought of the whole weekend. But yeah, it was really something to see. And we were just sitting there, and the old school thing is just funny since you brought it up. He comes out as the American Badass in like 01-02.
Uh-huh.
It was called Old School then. That was 18 years ago.
Retirement home now? Is that what we're calling it?
Like, it's just funny that, like, I'm sitting there because I've just been on the just go away train with The Undertaker for so long.
Absolutely.
What if 5 years from now he's still going?
He might be.
Like, what if this never ends?
First of all, let's just put this to the side for a second. Good for him. If somebody wants to hire him and give him a lot of money to work 20 minutes,
yeah, he
obviously
ain't doing...
put his body through not a great time, but to work 20 minutes and maybe make $1 million or $500,000 for one night?
Yeah, he ain't doing this for free.
Good
and
for him.
It's not like, yes, he's playing the hits. It's The Undertaker. That's kind of just what he does. But like, he did the leg drop on the apron spot. I'm like, dude, you're going to break a hip.
Listen, I don't ever want to accuse them of using performance-enhancing anything, because I don't know, and I don't think
I don't care. I'm pro-performance-enhancing drugs in all sports.
And so am I. But he, from the difference from whatever that thing in Dubai was that he was involved in, to now, was stunning.
The difference is, we know the, like, we know the
Undertaker. Saudi Arabia, sorry, not Dubai.
Yeah, yeah. We know The Undertaker is old, and he's not what he used to be, but we know he can tell a story. Goldberg, 20 years ago, was not good.
No.
20 years ago, The Undertaker had a 5-star match in Hell in a Cell with Shawn Michaels. Like, if you put him in the right situation, it'll be fine.
So I noticed something. He went for old school twice. He hit it once, did it twice. But he, like, sort of did the little hop up to sit on the top.
Yeah.
And I was, just with that, I was like, whoa. Like, he's in good shape right now, or healthy, or whatever.
He's not with a guy who has never known what to do.
Yeah.
Goldberg has never been good. I just watched, it was Pritchard and Conrad did a watch along of a Nitro, the Nitro where Goldberg beat Hogan for the title.
Okay.
And early in that show, Goldberg has to beat Scott Hall to get his title shot. It's one of the worst matches in the history of televised wrestling.
Wouldn't shock me.
And it's Scott Hall. Like, that guy, for all his issues, knows how to wrestle a match.
Yeah.
And it was garbage. Goldberg, that was 20 years ago. Goldberg's never been good. I think maybe we got a little too over the top with The Undertaker, but he is like 50 years old, and it's part on him too.
Yeah.
But when you put him in these situations, it's fine. And
when
that showed on Sunday.
Cover his ass.
Yeah.
He could do the 3 or 4 moves he needs, although Shane almost botched Tombstone.
Ooh.
And by the way, Shane's been botching stunners from Kevin Owens the entire last couple weeks.
He took the knee to the gut and went down to his knees. I was like, dude, you don't know how to take a stunner? Like, you grew up on this stuff.
It's literally the one thing you saw your dad take consistently over and over again. But, good for him. Like, we were down on him. It might have been my match of the night overall.
It was Cesaro and Aleister Black was,
just
I thought, really, really,
amazing.
Yeah, technically really great, but like in
Not
terms
a ton
of
good storytelling.
Yeah, in terms of just, I thought the Undertaker match was one of the matches of the entire weekend.
Absolutely.
Let's just skip ahead to the main event. Baron and Lacey versus Seth and Becky. I was expecting, I don't know, something a little different. I liked that they went, they did some really cool spots, but it was mostly, let's just put Seth and Becky over here. Let's
Correct.
Get out of this. Because leading up to this event, as we got to this event, I don't know if you got this feeling, but watching TV and knowing what's going on backstage, and we're transitioning here.
Yes.
it seems like they kind of just had to get through this show, and now we can hit the reset button.
I agree.
And, all right, that's fine. Put your baby faces over then. We have Seth, we have Becky, boom. Yes, they just win clean. Everything's over. This thing's over with, finally. Then Brock's music hits. Listen, I love Brock. I do. I was done with it, but if Seth goes over clean at SummerSlam, this is all fine to me.
So, a couple of things here. First of all, I loved Heyman's promo.
Oh, yeah. Heyman's...
When he just came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Him hinting everything ECW. Him saying
he's here. He's here.
That was... That made me pop instantly.
100%.
Then we come down to it, and I'm like, all right, maybe they'll do a tease again. Maybe he'll show up. Maybe he'll beat everybody up and just kind of leave. But you know what? It was the first Money in the Bank cash-in in 3 years? Maybe 4 years? That's really meant something. That's really meant, I'm going to plan this out correctly right after you've been through a war. And
yeah,
I'm going
Extreme
to take
Rules match.
And listen, I'm not as pro-Brock as you. But here's the thing.
I was over it. And if I want this to be over with Seth going over clean, not winning with a low blow,
right,
all that. But for the moment, I just thought it was really cool.
It was definitely really cool. But I was talking to some people on Twitter as they were all very anti-Brock.
Of course.
Shockingly so.
And I get that, too.
But think about it this way. We're anti-Brock because he's part-time. We're anti-Brock because you don't see the title on every single Raw or every single SmackDown, whatever the brand split seems to be over now anyway, but whatever.
That's done with, yeah.
Seth Rollins has been the champion since Mania. He's been on Raw since Mania. I don't think I've ever been less interested in the Universal title since Mania.
Yeah.
It's done nothing for me.
It's the same thing we talked about with Corbin. It's that people feel, and he didn't even use these words, but people are just so entitled now, they just want what they want when they want it.
Exactly.
It's like, he's a heel. You're supposed to hate him. You're supposed to not like that. They play it up that he's a part-timer. That's his character.
Exactly.
And yes, I do think at a certain point it ran its course, and they needed, I think they kind of screwed up. The Roman sickness, I think, really hurt a lot of their... And, like, listen, the dude had cancer. I'm not saying, the Roman. Yeah, it's not even like he tweaked his knee. Like, dude had leukemia. I'm just saying, I feel like it was over then, and then suddenly, oh, no, wait, our top guy is gone. How do we get to Mania? Well, we always have the Brock option.
Exactly.
And now we're setting up SummerSlam, and we're...
And both needed an opponent, because top guys on this card right now are few and far between.
That's what I was just going to say next to you. All right. Seth wins. No Brock. What the hell are they doing at SummerSlam?
Couldn't tell you.
Because Kofi's still champ.
Yep.
Samoa Joe just lost clean. Daniel Bryan, we don't really know what's up with him now.
He's clearly going to be something involved in a main title picture.
Last thing we checked, he was a tag wrestler. He just lost his titles, and he's on SmackDown. I mean, brand splits over, but he's on SmackDown. AJ Styles, U.S. champ. Like, our top guys are kind of out of it. Like, we going to do Seth Roman? We going to do that already? Because I don't want it.
No, I mean, I pray, they're saving that for Mania. And
just,
I would be all for that in a Mania match. Because, two friends, best friends, fighting over the belt, blah, blah, blah.
Guys finally getting this chance. And they vanquished Brock. Like, give me Roman Brock, number one contender. Roman finally gets his big win. Like, all that. I'm just like, I didn't have a problem with Brock. But as I always say, it's about what happens next.
Exactly. I don't know where it's going. He was on Raw. And it was okay, I guess.
Yeah, it was fine.
Like, great, he's got cool music, and by the way, I think it's super weird that he still does his weird little, like, sort of suck it gesture, and there's no pyro, so it's just, and, all right, next.
Yeah, it was funny, because at the Evolve show, Heyman shows up and cuts a promo, and he does, like, ring announcing, goes, you guys have pyro? We don't have pyro! Like, it was really funny.
Like, I get the no pyro thing,
but it's whatever.
Every now and when I see Brock, I go, just
some
up,
like if I was Brock, I'd pay for it myself.
Yeah,
like I would just like, this is a waste. Like, come on, let's go here.
But you're right; it is what's next. Again, he was on Raw.
It's about what's next to me. If they do this right, it's cool.
And that was great. And okay, Seth won the Battle Royal.
Yeah. What else was it going to be? Like, was it going to be Sami Zayn?
It wasn't. The only other guy I thought it was going to be would maybe Braun, and Braun finally would have gone over.
And I'm done with that. Like, we've already done that experiment. Braun isn't what Braun was. And that's where I wanted to go next with Extreme Rules. Man, for two guys who had, I mean, yeah, that spot on Raw was crazy, so you knew they were going to go over the top in this one. But for two guys who everyone was like, yeah, whatever, going into this last man standing match, Braun and Lashley tore the freaking house down.
They really did. When Braun is allowed to be Braun,
yeah,
and I don't blame Braun for any of this, truthfully. Like, you can blame
it's not on him how this happened.
Mic work or whatever, like, they just kind of screwed him over. They gave him the money in the bank, and they was like, oh, sorry, you're hurt, bye. No, don't have any more. But he was a really... I don't like Bobby Lashley even a little bit. I don't think he's got personality. I don't think he's a very good wrestler, even at all.
I like him in this spot. I like him either beating up somebody little or in a Transformers crashing into each other match, and that's what this was. This was an action film.
Literally took apart... the Wells Fargo Center.
The whole lower bowl being under construction worked out. I went to go get a beer and ended up doing a lap. That goddamn place, like, it is under construction, but it worked for that match.
Yeah, and because at first, like, because we got there early. I was there much earlier than you were, just because my girl first event wanted to see everything. Good for her. She had a great time.
I wanted to know, did she like really enjoy
it? I watched
the experience
post. We'll get to that in a second. Okay, let me finish this Braun thing. But we were sitting in almost about a half a section away from when Braun did that spot with Lashley at the end.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've been at the Wells Fargo Center 8,000 times in the last 10 years. What the hell is that? Like, what is that weird plywood?
Just this crash pad, basically.
And exactly. And, but in my head, I go, what in the world are they going to do?
Yeah.
It had to be something. It was there for a reason, obviously.
But I wanted to see like more. I always just want to see like more concourse, like more backstage stuff. I love I love the hardcore title.
Could that
for
that have been any like, more set up though with the concourse?
Oh no!
All of a sudden, everybody's
everyone's out there
off and just back there.
Yeah,
I get it. You don't want the guys around the wrestlers, and you even sort of saw Braun push a guy away.
Yeah,
and obviously, I'm sure that guy got a bunch of free crap because a wrestler touched him and all that, but it was just, I was like, really? Can we be that more obvious that you set up a backstage segment?
I mean, like, as soon as they see it getting, like, okay, everybody, we're off to, like, people are going to run out there. Like, so yeah. I get it, but I just thought they really killed it. I'll tell you what, like, in a very good show, what was a very good pay-per-view, I like Bayley, I like Alexa, I like Nikki. That match made no sense.
None at all.
None.
Well, we know now that Nikki was there only because Alexa was sick.
Yeah.
And has some sinus deal, and that's fine, I get it, but it...
There was one way to make that stupid thing work. Nikki turns on Alexa, goes, she wasn't using me, I was using her, boom. Nikki's the champ. That was the only way to make it make sense, because we've seen this stupid, we've seen it with Nia, we've seen it with Mickey James, like, this is a recurring theme. At a certain point, someone has to go the other way.
But like, nobody ever does.
This just made no sense. And Bayley going over clean, like, yeah. I get it. She's your, like, you want her to be
she's your female
John
Cena,
she wants you to
and
be.
That's fine.
They want her to be Cena, but, like, really? Really? How am I supposed to take the other two seriously at all now? They lost a 2-on-1 match.
Went from being very, very strong. And again, this is WWE's fault.
It's the booking.
To seemingly very, very weak. Like, I think Natty's really good.
Yeah.
I think Natty.
I'm looking forward to that match.
Been there for a billion years, and good for her for sticking it out. But okay, like, woohoo! Like, what's the point of that match?
Yeah, it's just another. It's just going to be another defense. Yeah,
because you don't have any real storyline for either title right now.
Yeah, and it's insane to think that they have this talent. And they're just like, yeah. All right,
like,
we'll see.
I really enjoyed, and we're going to get off Extreme Rules for half a second here. I really enjoyed Liv Morgan, Charlotte Flair on SmackDown.
That was very good.
It was a good match, and now I guess she's hurt with the knee, and I don't whether she's taking time off or this is real, we have no idea, but it was a damn good, solid match. They have, like Kofi said at the beginning of SmackDown, they have so much talent that they're not using, and unfortunately, you can't use everybody. You just can't.
No,
it can't be a 17-hour show.
And that's one of the things, like I always say, and this is just a booking thing. Like they don't really have factions anymore. There's a couple of groups running around, but the idea to me of a faction is you can't use everybody. But all of a sudden, like, okay, this guy isn't involved in a feud with anybody, but he's like, D'Lo Brown isn't feuding with Triple H. But suddenly, because Triple H is feuding with The Rock, D'Lo Brown can come in and win the European title, and it makes sense. Like, you're exactly. able to use more people, and you can just have people at ringside. It's just it's a utilization thing. The Riot Squad works for that reason. Yes.
You had, obviously, Ruby's hurt now, but you had them all together, and it was two other talented girls that kind of accompanied Ruby around that just had screen time and played in matches and whatever. It was, I don't know. It just is frustrating because Kofi is right. I mean, there's probably a scripted comment, but Kofi was right. Like, there's so much talent there that they're not using that they might be losing in time to AEW, and we'll get to that in a bit, I guess. I liked the Raws since Sami took over.
Yeah.
I know Bischoff hasn't taken over SmackDown yet, but I liked it because it's been different. We saw Cedric Alexander. We saw just all these new faces and in different places. Like, I don't mind a Baron Corbin match if he's feuding with now AJ for US, just to say something off the top of my head. Like, that's different. That's new. Like, good. Give him the US title or whatever. That's fine.
Anything else really stand out to you about Extreme Rules?
I mean, I was a little bit disappointed in Revival Usos.
That was a little, yeah. I loved
more of a filler.
Yeah, I thought the Triple Threat tag team was really good.
Yeah, it was fine.
I like heel AJ. I just
AJ. That Styles Clash off the second row.
That's badass.
Looked awesome.
That's
and almost looked real nailed. Yeah. Every time he hits it, I'm like, my stomach would explode right there.
Yeah, that looks badass. I love that move. Owen Ziggler was hilarious. 17-second stunner. Boom. Let's go home. I'll tell you, the most disappointing match of the night to me was Kofi Joe. I love Samoa Joe. He's one of my favorite wrestlers.
You've said that many times,
so he's one of my favorite wrestlers ever. Love him. Even when he's in these spots where I know he's not going to win, like, I need – at no point – was there drama in, like, I just never thought, like, they never sold the idea like he was a real threat.
Yeah, and that's sort of the problem when you just dump him in there as a title contender because he felt like he wanted to be a title contender. And
that's even though, like, Ziggler does the same thing, and it seems like there's more jeopardy in those matches.
And I think it's because, and this is no knock on Joe, Joe does a great job, but it's because Ziggler, I guess, has almost history as an actor.
Yeah.
He is probably one of the best sellers, I think, in the company. Every DDT, every clothesline, every anything, similar to, like, to how The Rock used to sell. Like, remember The Rock used to sell a stunner?
Oh, my God.
And he would just literally flip onto his head and then down. Ziggler is that way. Sometimes the overemphasis of that clothesline or that DDT or that punch works. Mm-hmm. And it tells that story better than kind of just Joe being Joe. And although I do love watching Joe take, I think it was a super kick or something, and just walks, flop.
Yeah, yeah.
And being a bigger dude, it
makes
him
he's still
a
monster,
better.
But he gets the move over in his own way, absolutely. We already talked about Seth versus Brock at SummerSlam, so the only other real Raw takeaway, so we move on to Raw now. Bray Wyatt! He's here!
Thank
he's
God.
Here. Where do you think? Yeah, it's the Fiend. Where do you think this is good? Because I want to know if it's he's going to be in a feud with Balor, or if this is going to be he's going to do like a Kane thing where he's just like interfering in random matches.
So
how do you think it's going to go?
After reading, and unfortunately, reading has become part of wrestling here. We know that Finn's taking a couple months off, so maybe it'll be a SummerSlam thing just to get Finn off TV. But I really hope it's a Kane thing. I really hope I'm going to screw with these people whenever I want, however I want, because I can.
And I want the vignettes. Like, I still want like Blue's Clues Steve to come out and be like, no, I am Yowie Wowie guy.
So that's,
it's all fine.
So you want... And
I want a split personality.
You want that split personality.
Him denying what the Fiend does.
So just an upgraded Demon King Finn Balor type of thing is what you're looking
for. Yes, absolutely.
Now, do you want both to wrestle, or do you only want the Fiend to wrestle?
I don't know. I don't know about matches yet. Like, I'm not even there.
Okay.
I want this, like, Kane shows up at Bad Blood and doesn't wrestle till Survivor Series. Like, I want another month of him getting involved in stuff and just telling stories.
So maybe I'm making this up in my head, but I feel like there was a point in time where corporate Kane every now and then would come back as Big Red Machine.
Absolutely.
And, like, just screw with people.
Mm-hmm.
And go, I was at the office. Yeah. I didn't do anything.
No, I want that's the kind of thing you want. Yowie,
okay.
Wowie. I don't know what he was up to. Like, I want.
I'll talk to him later.
Yeah, I want that.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going in that room. Like, that's what I want.
And I'd be down with that. Yeah. I enjoyed the
to
debut.
Eventually get to some like again. If he interferes in this Brock Seth match, like that's where I want this to go. Something like that.
I just want. Different. I've kept saying, I've said this for many podcasts. I've said this over and over again. Listen, I understand that top guys are only going to be in top guy feuds, and Cedric Alexander is probably not going to be along with Roman Reigns for much longer anymore. And that's
but hey, they're giving him TV time. Like, they're trying to make it a thing. I like that they're trying.
But I just want different. It can't just always be Baron Corbin versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
It can't just always be Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins. Just allow it to be a Bray Wyatt.
It's something that Bischoff talks about on his podcast a lot. They'll do like a watch along, and Conrad will be like, "What the hell is this guy?" Like, he's like, "Well, let's take a step back now. What's the biggest knock on WCW? We didn't make our own stars. Well, the only way to do that is to give a bunch of guys opportunities. We had a three-hour show, so I threw out Scotty Riggs. See what happens." Like, you know, and that's what, like, yeah, give me Ali. Give me Cedric Alexander. Give me split personality. Just see something. You'll make a star out of one of these guys, I guarantee
it. It's what I liked with Brock, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
It was just different. And yes, Brock.
Match I never thought I'd see.
But, and every now and then, and yes, Brock can't always just be beat, and Brock Balor, give me something that's going to say this 2-foot-tall guy in a Brock Balor or Brock Bryan thing is going to win.
Yep,
and let them win once. Brock is always going to be Brock. Brock will take 6 months off and come back and destroy more people. Nobody's going to care.
It is wild that
see Brock lose to a Bryan or a Balor or a Bray or something like. Great, like the Beast Slayer can't be the only one who beats the Beast.
Yep.
Or just give me something, please. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to SmackDown now, I think. Shane McMahon. Why isn't he like in a wheelchair? That's like that to me, like that's a missed opportunity to me. Like he just got the crap kicked out of him by the Undertaker. Like, dude should be in a body cast or like I don't know.
I
like the feud with Owens because I love Kevin Owens.
It's the consistency problem. That's what they have here. Like, at least Becky, and we'll mix him with Raw here for half a second. When Becky came down on Raw, she was selling, weirdly so, the end of days.
Yeah.
It was the wrong part of her body, I think. But regardless.
Yeah, she's just sore.
She was selling the end of days. She took a massive bump from a male wrestler, something they really don't allow in the company.
They've been getting to it a little more. I mean, going back to the Rumble, it's been...
Which will also kind of make me curious, because I don't necessarily love the intergender thing.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not
for
my
me.
Cup of tea. I'm all for women empowerment. I'm all for women kicking the hell out of dudes. It just doesn't do anything for me as a visual product to see intergender
wrestling.
Yeah,
like Sami Callihan just had that match with Tessa Blanchard. And,
like, amazing for her. She put on a hell of a match.
It's great. Good for her. It's just, first of all, like if you Google Sami Callihan, I don't know if this should be a storyline when you have these allegations against you.
That's
you know
even worse.
Yeah, but like I just like it's just not. I don't tune into wrestling to see a man beat up a woman. Like
or vice versa.
Yeah, it's just not.
I tune in to see the story, and I don't like when real life emulates wrestling all that much. So when a guy, unfortunately, with those type of allegations against them has it. But regardless, it's something they've been getting to, and it's okay for what it is.
And in that kind of match, listen, he's a bad guy. It, storytelling-wise, that made sense.
Yes. But.
And it's Extreme Rules.
It's consistency, and Becky was consistent with
it.
Shane came out like nothing had happened.
Yeah, like he didn't just get the crap kicked out of him by it's the Undertaker.
Yes.
Like
if
the
you
guy
don't sell
like,
for him or for Brock or for the
yeah,
other
like,
guys.
Brock beat the Undertaker at WrestleMania and has basically gone undefeated. Like he dominated Cena and then was champ for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Like that's what's happened since he beat Undertaker.
It's got a win or a loss has to mean something. And not as far as, you're 2-17 and Zack Ryder, or you're 17-0, like Brock Lesnar, whatever. It just has to mean something, and it has to carry over.
Yeah. But the Shane stuff is, I know you like, it's...
I like the parallel, the Austin Vince to Shane Owens type of thing, and with Owens using the stunner. It even harkens back to that even a bit more. It's, I like
that's
that
what's weird. Like, I like it because I like, again, I keep saying the worst thing about Shane is he's good at what he does. Like, yeah, his character works, but I'm tired of him. But
well,
I like
the same Shane
making
aside
it
from wrestling.
Yeah, making it so years. Obvious what you're recreating. I don't know. It's weird to me.
I don't mind it because at least it's something.
Okay,
it's something that. And it wasn't even long, because Owens has been out for about a year or
yeah.
so. It's just something that's different. And give me a bit of different, because you're going to recreate everything. Bayley is essentially a knockoff Macho Man. That's just what it is.
I freaking love Bayley, too. And it's just like, it's been just downhill ever since she came up.
Each character is a knockoff of another character. Like, Bray Wyatt is literally coming from a Undertaker-Kane mixture.
Yeah.
That's what these people do. So everything is the same in so many words. But it's just different enough that I'm happy with it.
You want different. It looks like we're getting to Orton in a main title match at SummerSlam.
I'm all for that.
I think the match will be very good. And, like, Orton just... I was such a big Orton fan back in the day. And I've been watching him too long. I've just been watching him for too consistently for too long. I'm over it. I'm just over Randy Orton. And I am saying, I bet you this match is good, and the angle might even be watchable. I'm just over it.
So I agree with you in some points. I don't know how this could ever be remedied, because it is WWE, it is AEW, it is all this stuff. People are going to get recycled. That's just what
Absolutely.
Happens. Absolutely. But I agree with you. Like, it just... can we ever put, like, a cap on these guys as far as years? And, like, maybe make, like, 3 special appearances every now and then? Like, I'll be all for the Raw reunion show that's coming up next week, because you'll see Stone Cold come out.
Yeah, it's
going to
be, yeah.
But it's even more special because he's not around anymore.
Yes, exactly. If Stone
he's
Cold
not back every 30
if
seconds.
If it was like Allen Iverson night and we just did Stone Cold night every 3 weeks, it would be like, all right, well, I don't even care about freaking Stone Cold Steve Austin
exactly.
anymore. And now
the
it's...
The beauty about a Stone Cold appearance, the beauty about the ever-so-rare Rock appearance is you're not expecting it. And yes, they promoted Stone Cold, but
no,
even,
you're going to
even
promote Stone
the show,
Cold.
The second I hear...
I actually,
and the music, I'm going to jump out of my seat.
And I think this is genius to be doing it now, because Heyman's in charge. They're trying to start this new thing. They're laxing the TVPG rules.
Oh, yeah.
So they want to bring that audience back. So tell that audience, because I want a surprise always. But in this case, tell that audience, hey, you haven't watched in a while? Stone Cold's coming back. And while you're here... It's not TVPG so much anymore. It might not be as bad as when you left.
I think it's really smart. Conversation with the Shining Wizards crew, the podcast that follows us, that we follow them. Good guys. They do a good job and all that. But we're so overall. It's the same thing. I'm like, bro, they almost have to in 52 weeks, if 50 of them, let's say, are live, and obviously a couple are taped because they're in London
or whatever. Yeah.
If 50 of them are live, they almost have to in so many ways. Put on a shitty show 10 times.
No, that's
to make the other shows better.
Yeah.
Every show can't be great.
Listen.
It just can't be.
I look back on the Attitude Era with the same rose-colored glasses as everybody. But you have the network, so you don't have to just remember it. Go back and watch.
Some of them
it's not the greatest, like, it's not 2 hours of the greatest stuff you've ever seen, man.
It's correct.
Like, it's some of it's terrible.
To make the best times better, you have to go through some of the worst times. And I will never say that WWE is intentionally putting out a shitty product.
No, it's just what happens.
It just happens with a traveling company, just like the Phillies right now. The Phillies are going through a terrible stretch. They're not the worst team in the league. They may not be the best team in the league this year, but there's going to be major ups like there were in the early season and terrible downs when they're in the middle of the season.
Think of any television show. Like, the best, my favorite TV shows have seasons where I'm like, that was trash.
Yes.
Like, and that's just, it happens sometimes. I'm not excusing it, because I'm going to come on this show and complain about it when it's bad.
Exactly.
But right now, I don't think things have been that bad.
They have, ever since Heyman took over, since it's been, what, the third?
This is episode 3 or 4, I think.
They've been better.
Absolutely.
They've been watchable.
Yeah.
Prior Raws have been unwatchable.
No, it's been like, trust me, I'm with everyone else going, this is terrible, I don't want to watch. That, it hasn't been that way the last few weeks. Maybe it'll be bad next week, but right now I don't think it's terrible.
You will get to the bad. As long as I'm not bored out of my skull wanting to change the channel, whether it's on the Hulu recaps the next day, or whether it's I just have to get a chance to watch the quick Raw recap that WWE puts out. Even those 2-minute video, 3-minute videos can be boring as hell in the past. As long as I'm not bored, I'm okay with it, because they'll be great and they'll be shit.
Let's jump ahead to AEW Fight for the Fallen from Saturday. I enjoyed this show, not as much as Fighter Fest. There were some ups and downs in it, though. I really thought it had way more peaks and valleys than Fighter Fest did.
So the problem that I see with AEW, and I didn't watch it on time, I watched it the next day, and it was fine, I guess. The problem I have with AEW is they're a very top-heavy organization with not a lot of top-heavy talent. Like, if you're telling me the main guy there, or two main guys in my head, are Omega Jericho.
Yeah.
That's the elite of the elite. But your main TV product, your main face of the product right now, aren't those two. You're pushing, Cody's pushing himself. You're pushing a tag team that's fine, I guess. Actually, two tag teams that are fine, but a spot heavy thing. And a character that I'm thought was a cowboy, but I'm not really sure what he is.
And that's what and I enjoyed 2/3 of this show, I would say. But it was a really good card, and it was much more enjoyable, I thought, than like the immediate Twitter reaction, because they've been like, you know, internet darlings, AEW. Oh my God, everything's the greatest thing ever. And I didn't think while I was following along on Twitter, because I just watched it the other night, but Saturday night, I'm following along on Twitter, and I didn't think it was like the over-the-top praise they've been getting. They can't get on TV soon enough.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't have the stories to go along with the matches.
It's just a bunch of made-up randomness that they think will be over.
Guys who have good characters are enjoyable, and guys who need to get over just can't yet. Like that, they're trying to get over Hangman Page, and he's going to be in the main event of All Out against Chris Jericho. I thought Kip Sabian did 10 times more to get himself over in that match than Hangman Page.
Yeah.
Watching that match, I don't know what I'm supposed. What is is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? What is he supposed to be?
I don't know what he is overall. I know he's a name that came from a company I didn't watch.
There were cool moves in that match. None of them meant anything to me. I thought that match was just there. I thought Cody and Dustin versus the Bucks, top two matches of the weekend. I thought it was freaking incredible. I am obsessed. And here's a match. It might have been the opening match on AEW. I think it might have been my favorite match on the whole card. Havoc, Joey Janela, and MJF. Or Allen, Jimmy Havoc, and Joey Janela versus MJF, Sean Spears, Sammy Guevara. I am obsessed with Darby Allin. I think he's going to be legit. That dude will take any chance. He's a freak athlete. He has a character. He's leaning into it. Joey, I thought there were 5 awesome performers in this match, and Janela was just kind of there. Didn't do anything for me.
I don't get his hype, but I really don't.
I thought
everybody
here got their character over. Like, everybody in this match, Janela, you know, he had his match with Mox.
What did he do to... And listen, it's wrestling. You just put people in matches because you just say you do. But, like, you're putting him in an elite position. Like, you're just putting there to throw Mox into barbed wire? Like, okay.
Yeah, he was like, just a guy who wanted to do that.
Yeah, like, but if that's all you wanted, if you wanted a guy to take a bump like that, that's fine.
I thought this 6-man tag, like, I thought every character accomplished what they needed to accomplish. Like, was it the most mind-blowing match of all time? Is it going to get 5 stars?
Solid.
No. It just accomplished what it needed to accomplish. I think Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are a great team. Like, that's a team I want to watch. I always, whenever a team like that comes out on Raw, I'm like, this is what I want the tag division to be. Like, one monster with the little dude doing all the bumping.
It's what Enzo and Cass should have been, essentially.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that sort of in-ring dynamic, and they're two guys with characters. As soon as I look at them, I could be watching the show on mute, and I know what's going on. I get who these guys are. I don't have to be told, and that's what I really like about them.
But the ultimate point with them getting on TV is important.
They need to be able to build stories, and they will.
They need to tell us who these guys are. Because right now, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, that was a cool match. It was fine. And Luchasaurus actually is more like agile than I even expected him to be. But besides that, like, who the hell is he? Like, give me a story. Is he just a Kane knockoff kind of guy?
And that's, we have to get to Like, they're giving you, and that's why they're giving you the last two shows for free. Because they need, they've realized they need to build
this
audience.
They should have started with that.
Yeah, well, they, you know, they sold out MGM and were like, oh my God, everyone wants this. And it's like, I bet certain part of your audience does. Just really looking forward to finding out how much.
Kev said it on one of those tweets, or he might have said it last time he was on the pod, like, is it the same 20,000 people?
That's what I want
to
know.
Going to these things?
If you run four shows, people save up and go and make these trips. Like, it's the
like I'm happy for them. I'm going to watch the alternative, and might even watch the alternative in indifference to WWE sometimes. Like, I'm not going to go four nights in a row of wrestling or three nights in a row of wrestling. I just can't with the career that you and I have chose. But give me some. Tell me who these guys are. Why do I care about their non-cruiserweight division?
Yeah.
Why do I care about this chief brand officer, another top guy, quote-unquote, in their company, winning again?
I completely zoned out during the Brandy match.
Like, if all they're going to do
is
have...
And it's hard to zone out when Brandy's around.
The five of them just keep winning and winning and winning. The owners of this company, the main executive people in this company, just keep winning all over the place. Like, I don't care. I want to see... give me Luchasaurus as their first champion.
That
don't
would be
give
hilarious.
Don't give me one of the same five guys that you brought in to start as the champion. Yeah, everybody hates Brock Lesnar because he's never there. Yeah, I'm sure freaking Chris Jericho ain't going to be there for three straight years either.
I would doubt it. The Kenny Omega Shima match I thought was awesome. It was very good. Yeah. But it was just such an Omega match. Like, sometimes I watch his matches and just go... It's I have the same reaction I have to, like, Stranger Things sometimes. Really, something else is happening to these kids. Like, every single Omega match is like a Scorsese or a Tarantino masterpiece.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most dramatic, crazy, and that's how he wants to present it, I get. But he just never has a 7-minute TV match.
And he's going to have to. Because A, he's getting older, and B, you have to allow people to get over on him.
Yeah,
you
and
just
that's
do.
They made a major point to say he doesn't have a win yet, but it was like, all right, he's 0-1 and he lost to Chris Jericho. It's not like he's 0-6. Like,
yeah,
he's not Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins.
Yeah,
making such a big deal about the record, and I'm like, he's wrestled one match and it was against Chris Jericho. Like, are we really gonna harp on this for the whole 30 minutes?
I love JR. We've had JR on the previous version of this pod. But I'm just kind of over him.
I like this version of Jim Ross. I am over character good old JR. I like this version of Jim Ross. This version of Jim Ross, you could go have a beer with. Like, I feel like he's a little different. But I'm not a fan of the three-man booth, and it's definitely working because... 4 hours of Jim Ross is too much.
Oh, well,
that's why
you need a three-man booth with JR.
Yeah, I also love Excalibur in the mask. I think that's awesome. He's on TV behind the table in the mask. Because at first I was like, this is ridiculous. And then I was like, wait, there's a guy who sits there in a cowboy hat? What the hell's the difference
if that's your gimmick, you just got to play it out.
Evolve 131 real quickly. My main takeaways, Austin Theory versus J.D. Drake was fine. It wasn't revolutionary. Like, Heyman comes out and cuts this amazing promo. Heyman in the ECW arena, magic. But he comes
Heyman
out.
Heyman anywhere is magic.
Yeah, but it's like he's there. He's in that building. And then he cuts this promo about how you'll go back and say, that's when you knew this was the future of the business. I was like, this was a good NXT match. It was nothing other than that.
Yeah.
Cole Tozawa was pretty good. Riddle Gulak was awesome. That was just a good... That's just a match you don't see. They don't have that kind of match all the time.
Well, I don't love Riddle overall. I think he's fine.
He's growing on me.
I don't dig the
King hate barefoot. I just hate barefoot guys.
Yeah, I don't get the point of it. I mean, they took off...
Step on his feet.
Yeah.
That's all I think when I see a barefoot guy.
And they took Rusev out of the barefoot thing, too, pretty quickly. I think he hurt himself at some point, but...
I just hate barefoot guys, but Riddle's growing on me. Gulak, I think, has really improved over the last few months. I just thought this was the kind of matches that Owen and Shamrock were having in 98, when they were just straight up fighting, and that, like, it was a technical and it was striking. I just really enjoyed it.
I agree.
But my biggest takeaway from Evolve 131, the dude in the opener, Josh Briggs, we're going to be seeing him soon. it won't be long till Josh Briggs is at least on the NXT roster, because he's big, he was bumping his ass off, and he was so smooth.
It was entertaining.
He was doing so much stuff out there, and none of it looked clunky. I was really impressed with Josh Briggs. That's what I like about indie shows. Like, I want to see Gulak Riddle, and then find out about some guy named Josh Briggs. Like, that's how I found out about Kevin Owens. Like, went to see someone else at an ROH show, and was like, oh, Kevin Steen, huh? I like this guy. And that's the beauty of seeing indie shows. Turtle, well, I'm going to wrap it up here, but we put out a poll on our Twitter. Follow us at Smarks Stripes. I just want to know what everyone's favorite show was of the weekend, because this was a crazy weekend, and it was a crazy weekend in Philly. I mean, Extreme Rules Sunday, Evolve 131 Saturday, and AEW in the home of Nick Foles. So this was a Philly wrestling weekend. What do you think the respondents were? Because remember, it's Twitter. It's not the mainstream audience.
Twitter in my head goes AEW.
Yeah.
But I just had so much fun at Extreme Rules, and to the point where I could look over and see my fiance just having a good time at something she's never done before. Like, she whispered to me one time, goes, "Damn, I hate these a-holes," and talking about the Revival.
Yep.
I'm like, you actually know who they are? Like, I don't really, like, we watch Raw every now and then, watch SmackDown most of the time as we can. She'll sit there with me and she'll go, just every now and then go, damn, that jackass is annoying me. I'm like,
66% of voters agreed with you. Extreme Rules.
Our Smarks and Stripes following is good.
Was the event of the weekend, which surprised me. Like, I loved it. Especially considering it's not a major WWE pay-per-view.
I was stunned with how good it was. I really was.
The story building going into it, I was like, they're trying to get through this show, and I don't blame them.
And
but
it just proves that WWE, when their back is to the wall, because I think it is, can put on a good show when they want to.
Yeah. And we've talked about it. They're preparing. Whether they'll ever acknowledge it or not, they're getting ready for something. It's not going to be the Monday Night Wars. They're not going to go out of business. Like, it's not going to be like that. They're not going to have to cut their best guy because they can't pay him like they did with Bret Hart. But they're getting ready for something. And I hope it just keeps improving. I can't wait for AEW to get on TV so they can start building storylines against these good matches.
Just literally teaching us who these guys are.
Yeah.
Half the time I watched the event, and I was like, well, whose music is this? Who is that? Like, I just didn't know.
Yeah, that's Christopher Daniels wasn't, they had a tag match with SoCal Uncensored, and Christopher Daniels was the third guy who wasn't in the match. And I was like, oh, well, he's someone I'm, like, really into, and I don't know who Scorpio's, whatever the hell I don't know who he is. I know Kazarian, and I know them as the Addiction.
AEW has built their brand on the five people that everybody knows, and the 30 people that are on the roster left that nobody knows. And that's what they have to build that part on the TV.
Yeah,
with.
They very...
Show us these people.
They very badly need to get to TV, and I think it's going to hurt them going into All Out not being on TV yet.
Because
they want $50 for that show.
And there's no other stories.
And I'm not paying it.
It's just, oh, come see Cody versus Dustin again, or whatever it is, or a tag team rematch because we said it was a good one the first time. Like, I don't care anymore.
That's Lucha Bros Young Bucks in a ladder match is gonna be ridiculous.
But it's gonna be ridiculous because it's just a bunch of dudes who don't really care about their safety doing crazy things.
Absolutely.
Their first match was good because of that. Their first match wasn't good because it was a good story, because it was a good lead-in, because of anything. It was just a bunch of dudes who could do flips and do crazy-ass shit. Doing crazy-ass shit. That's only, like... That's not wrestling. That's a bunch of spots. That's entertaining.
Yeah.
But you need both in there.
Think about how the TLC crew got over. That's what they did, too. And they are the only ones who made tag team wrestling matter.
But I also knew going in who the Dudley Boys were, who Edge and Christian were, who the Hardy Boys were. There was story. There was reason for all this. Not just, we're the top two tag teams they signed, so we're going to put them in another match.
Everyone watching knows who the Young Bucks are. Like,
going into AEW, I've never seen one of their matches.
You've never
once.
Seen a single Young Bucks match?
Nope.
That's incredible, Turtle. All right, that is all the time we have for you on Smarks and Stripes this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. We are literally everywhere. I recommend radio.com, but we're on iTunes, Google Play, all those places. For Turtle, Kevin Keenan will be back with us, you know, at some point or another. He's a busy guy.
He's our Stripes. He needs to do things.
Yeah. I'm Bill Matz. Have a great week, everybody.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.